Hi, welcome to another 2 Corinthians audio devotional. My name is Steve Durr, and I'm here with the lovely
Vicky Durr, and we are reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ, though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Look at the obvious facts. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. I am not trying to frighten you by my letters. For some say, Paul's letters are demanding and forceful. But in person, he is weak and his speeches are worthless. Those people should realize that our actions when we arrive in person will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from far away.
Awesome. So here's the Apostle Paul speaking to, again, the church family in Corinth. They have been divided over Paul. And he's had to defend his position, his authority as an apostle, as one serving God. And here he brings up something really interesting. He talks about not waging war as humans do, but rather using God's mighty weapons, as he does in verse 4. He says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reason to destroy false arguments. And then he goes on to say, we capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, and so Vicky, why don't you share a little bit about why that thought in particular grabs your attention and how you've sought to try to encourage even us as a family and other people to take thoughts captive when
they're rebellious.
When dealing with rebellious
and
thoughts
that are kind of pulling us away.
Yeah, basically right. Pulling us away from God and knowing God.
Yeah. Well, obviously, this is maybe not obvious, but this is a classic verse that I think a lot of people use. But sometimes I think it's hard to hold on to what that actually even means to capture thoughts.
Take every thought captive.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think some things that we've tried to do is if a lot of times in parenting, this has helped. If one of our kids is hyper fixated on something, whether it be I'm going to fail at this or I said the wrong thing, or I often what we'll encourage them to do is just to change their thinking. If you're thinking about this, what if we shift it and think about something different? So sometimes it's just a matter of changing the subject in our minds. But the one thing about that, although it sounds simple, I think it's something you have to do with each other, because sometimes you don't, sometimes it's hard to recognize a thought that needs to be taken captive.
Because it's become so common or ingrained, right?
Exactly.
So a stronghold in a family might be where you're told repeatedly, you're not smart. No one likes you. You're a failure. Whatever it is, I don't have time for you. Whether you hear those words or you feel it, and that plays over and over in your head on repeat, and you get in that stinking thinking groove.
Exactly.
And so when you're in that, you're saying, we need people in our lives to hear that and point that out for us.
Exactly. To point out the truth, to help us change the subject of our thoughts, to point us in the right direction. I think another thing too, just even verbalizing some thoughts. I think when we get stuck in our head with our thoughts, that's when I think the enemy can just have a field day and tell us all kinds of things that aren't true. And when we verbalize those things and bring it out into the light and show it for what it is, which often is not true. When we expose those lies that way, we take away the power of the thoughts. We take away the power of the enemy to use those against us. So that's just it. So again, I think it's important that we're doing this together with each other so that we can help call out the truth and call out the lies.
Right. Which reminds me of the passage in Ephesians. It says, speaking the truth in love. And repeatedly, you know, throughout scripture, you hear a lot of the one another's in the New Testament, which is confess your sins to one another, speak the truth in love to each other, build each other up.
Encourage one another
or exhort one another. Yeah, constantly. So it's taking time to help each other make sure our thinking and our attitudes and our internal soundtrack is actually from God in His truth rather than the lies of the enemy or our own sinfulness and our own messed up life or what other people have said to us. So having other people kind of change the channel on the soundtrack of our lives is huge. And you brought up the idea of saying it out loud and how that kind of takes some of the power away from it. So in that setting for you, let's say, and you've done this with me in my life, I start talking and I start saying things. And what do you say to someone who's like, hey, here's how I'm feeling, here's what I'm thinking. And you can tell they're condemning thoughts, they're thoughts that are untrue in the eyes of scripture and who I am in Jesus. What do you do then in that situation?
A good friend of ours had once used the phrase, where's the grace in that? And I think when you can take a minute, and I think when you start to hear the words you're saying that may be condemning, there's not a lot of grace there. And I think that God offers us so much grace. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. There's a lot about His kindness, His grace, His love. So I think another way to test some of those thoughts is there any grace in the thoughts you're having?
Are the thoughts condemning, right?
Correct.
Because like yep. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, it's like there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, right? So if it's a condemning thought, this isn't a Jesus thought.
Right, exactly. I've also just asked somebody, do you really believe that? Is that actually true?
Yeah.
Because so again, it's taking that extra minute to help somebody sort out what they're thinking and what they're feeling.
That's good. What I like about that is it's easy to spiral in our thoughts.
Exactly.
And to build a case against ourselves or other people.
Right.
And by saying, do you believe that? And then to be able to say, what does God say about you?
Exactly.
And then look to scripture and go, does what I'm saying line up with what God says? And then who am I going to believe?
Exactly.
Am I going to believe God or am I going to believe what I'm thinking? One of the tools we've used through the years, something called a freedom appointment. It's by Neil Anderson. It's just all about kind of, you know, emptying out the garbage thoughts and strongholds and beliefs that we've held on to and replacing it with the truth of God's word, of who God is, who we are. And there's a whole section that talks about who our identity in Christ. And it kind of reminds me of what you're saying. Like you announce a lie or you announce false belief or soundtrack of our life and you take it captive and you then replace that with truth. So it's kind of like this. I renounce the lie that I'm rejected. I'm unloved. I'm shameful. In Christ, I am accepted. And God says, and there's all Bible verses next to this, John 1:12. I'm God's child, John 15:5. I'm Christ's friend. 1 Corinthians 6:17. I'm united with Jesus. I'm one with Him in spirit. So it's got all these different kind of lies that we often believe. And then you announce or say the truth from God's word of who we truly are. Now, have you seen, like in your own life or other people's lives as you've helped them, this actually help, you know, where it's not just, you know, pop psychology. You know, this truly is a changing the way you think, which is really a repentance, right?
Right.
So you're changing your thinking to align it with God.
Right.
Have you seen this work in your life, kids' life, other people's life? How has this been helpful, do you think?
Yeah, I think for me personally, just feeling equipped to be able to take thoughts captive. I don't feel like a victim of my thoughts because I know that I have people in my life who can help speak truth, who can help identify lies I might be believing or challenging thoughts that I might be thinking. So I feel a lot of freedom and I feel equipped, like I said, to handle not all of them. And I don't handle them by myself. It's only because of God and what his word says and just doing it over and over and over and over and over again, you know,
Continuing to choose the truth,
even when I don't feel it.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Would you mind closing us in prayer?
No, gladly. God, thank you for this time that we could spend together. Thank you for your word that is powerful, that gives us freedom and gives us authority over our thoughts. Lord, I pray for each person listening that they would also sense that freedom and authority to take those lies, those rebellious thoughts, that they will feel equipped to take those captive. And also, God, I pray that they would find your word to replace those lies with the truth. Thank you for being a God who loves us just the way you made us. And you provide ways for us to walk in freedom. Amen.